What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Why can't I commune in your church? There are also variations on this question. Why don't you commune in my church? At last year's Churches Together in England forum, in the group looking at what issues still divide the Christian church, the single issue by far, the most painful, the one that generated the most passion, even almost tears, and the one that obviously polarized the group was Eucharistic hospitality, or the lack of it in some people's eyes. There are many differences in church practices on Holy Communion. Hello, my name is George Samietz. I'm pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, Suffolk. And for listeners overseas, that is in the east of England, northeast of London. Welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio UK is an important part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Find out more about the ELCE with links to congregations, Westfield House in Cambridge, our Theological House of Studies, and the Lutheran Radio UK itself, go to www.lutheran.co.uk. So let's use the question, why can't I commune in your church, to look at this often emotional topic. Today we consider Holy Communion, which might also be called the sacrament of the altar, the Mass, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, maybe even the Lord's Table. Each name reflects a nuance of this event for the Church, maybe a particular emphasis or slant. We're all talking about observing and remembering what Jesus' last meal on the evening before his arrest, how he changed the Passover meal and instituted a new meal. And about participating in this new meal, a ritual eating and drinking, today at church. That there are numerous names should alert us to the fact that there might be disagreement about what it is, what happens, and what are the consequences. Sadly, this is the case, and therefore it isn't surprising that there are differing communing practices in the churches as well. If the church doesn't agree on what is Holy Communion, then church members will have different views. And then when it comes to people on the fringe of churches, visitors and the like, you have a further myriad of views, expectations and responses. All churches nevertheless would say that Holy Communion is important. But how important? We're back at the differences again. Some churches have Holy Communion every Sunday, others maybe twice a month, while still others much more infrequently. Some churches use bread and wine, others bread and grape juice. Some churches have confirmation as the entry point to Holy Communion. Other churches have separated First Communion from confirmation. And still other churches take the view that if you're present, attending the service, then you may commune. In some churches, you go to the altar to receive this sacrament. In other churches, the sacrament comes to you in the pew. On top of the variations among the churches, many of us live in a more ecumenical environment, often with less denominational differences. Though that isn't necessarily a consequence of ecumenism, among people who are increasingly individualistic in outlook and attitude, and who see the church not from the point of view of community, membership, common life with others, but more as service providers, which they can pick up or not as per their individual needs. So what churches say about Holy Communion becomes less important than what the individual believes or regards or desires. There are lots of people holding the view that Holy Communion is what I say it is for me. What the church might say isn't important. It would seem simpler for churches today to just say, "Open the doors, the cafeteria is serving," and people can decide. That is in contrast to the early church, where the cry of the doors, was a signal for people, those not baptized, and even the catechumens, to depart for they were not even to observe the mysteries about to happen, that is, Holy Communion. Of course, such practice reflects one's understanding about Holy Communion, and these are not identical, in fact not even close. Hence, such different practices occur about the same thing. So churches who have open communion generally have the view that the essence of Holy Communion is determined by the recipient, who then determines whether to commune or not. There may be agreement in what is happening at that moment, but it will tend to be of a spiritual or symbolic nature. Churches who restrict the admission to Holy Communion generally have the view that the essence of Holy Communion is not determined by the recipient, but by the church or by Jesus, and the recipient receives something fixed or set. And so who communes is obviously still determined by the individual, but also by the church. Where the church believes it has a responsibility regarding who communes, then one of the things it looks for is that those who commune are in agreement about what is happening, what the church teaches, what Jesus is doing among his people. This has produced over many, many centuries the idea that if you commune at a place, you're saying by your action that you're one of them, part of that group gathered around the family table. So if you commune at a Roman Catholic altar, you're saying that you're in fellowship and agree with what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. At a Lutheran altar, what the Lutheran Church teaches. At an Orthodox altar, what the Orthodox Church teaches, and so on. Baptists gather around a Baptist Holy Communion. Pentecostals, you get the idea. Of course, with many people wanting to diminish denominations and just say Christian, this issue has further compounded. If you come to Ascension, then you would read the following Holy Communion notice in the bulletin. The Lutheran Church teaches that Holy Communion is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given with bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink. This sacrament is for baptized people who repent of all their sins, trust in Jesus as their only Saviour, believe that in this sacrament Jesus gives his body and blood with bread and wine, intend to live as God wants them to, and join with the Lutheran Church in this public confession of Jesus and his word. If you have any questions about attending the Lord's Supper, please see the pastor. We understand that there are those who attend worship who do not share the Lutheran understanding of Holy Communion. Perhaps they are not baptized or confirmed, or they are searching in their faith at this time, or they are members in another denomination and are visiting today. Regrettably, we cannot offer the sacrament to everyone. However, at Ascension, we have the practice of blessing children and adult inquirers and visitors from other churches during the distribution. If you would like to come forward to receive a blessing, then please feel free to do so. If you keep your hands behind your back, then the pastor will know to give you a blessing. After the reception of the blessing, you may return to your seat. So that's the notice that you would read at Ascension. For Lutherans, Holy Communion is a physical and spiritual meeting, a sacramental meeting, with Jesus Christ, who isn't up in heaven, far away and remote, but is down here by the power of the Holy Spirit through his word and bread and wine. We don't and can't explain this mystery. It is similar to the mystery of Jesus himself. How can he be truly human and truly God? Two doesn't equal one normally. But in Jesus' case it does. 100% human and 100% divine. And now Jesus uses bread and wine, the Lutheran language is in, with, and under, to physically come to us, actually come to us, because a person is where their body and blood is, and enter and sup with, commune with, everyone who receives this sacrament. The reality of the sacrament is determined by Jesus. He says what it is. We do not determine the presence of Jesus by our faith at this point, but we receive Jesus, who is the host of the meal, and who is the meal, for the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our bodies, and the strengthening of our faith. This is a holy communion, not because of any pious thoughts or emotional experiences that might be happening within us, and often they're not, I suspect, but because Jesus is holy and he is present. He comes to bless. However, there is also the possibility that meeting Jesus doesn't result in blessing but judgment. This isn't because Jesus doesn't like a person and rejects them, but precisely the opposite. People reject him, and if not reject, push him away. As you read the gospel accounts, you find sadly again and again that people who saw Jesus, even doing his miracles, listened to him teach, considered who he was in front of them, still came to a different conclusion than he is Lord, our Saviour, God incarnate. For some he was a demon, for others his teaching was too hard. For still others he was blasphemous, claiming to be God, and so on. Read the Old Testament, and you see that the people can go through the motions. God desired mercy and repentance, not the ritualized sacrifices. The Bible is full of times when God comes close to people wanting to bless and give life, and is pushed away, rejected, or if not actually rejected, kept at the corner of life, like a lucky charm, maybe while people still live the life they wanted. And this behavior is destructive for ourselves, and we bring judgment on ourselves when we do such things. So Lutherans believe that Jesus says that he is present to forgive sins, among other things. Now, should someone commune who in their hearts, remember, we can't see most spiritual things going on inside of us until they bear fruit of some sort, says, "I don't believe you're present, Jesus," or "I don't believe you exist, Jesus," or "I don't want your forgiveness, Jesus, especially if it means I should forgive others," can you sense what such a holy communion would result in? Jesus comes to this person who says personally, intimately, "I don't want you," and the biblical testimony is that pushing God away isn't healthy. So part of the pastoral care of the pastor is not to make people good enough for holy communion, but to walk with them and help them understand and repent of their sin and receive with eagerness and longing Jesus and his help. That is why the Lutheran Church teaches Holy Communion so much and so often, so that people can know what it is, what Jesus does, what a means of grace it is, and then we can bring our imperfect, struggling, sinful selves to him and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, help me, I'm drowning, save me," and the like. Why can't I commune in your church? Actually, I don't know. Every person has a story and comes with a belief in something, and so what exactly the answer will be will depend. What I can say is that the Lutheran Church dearly wants people to meet Jesus, who comes to them, to commune with him, and to receive him and his blessings. Here's what the Lutheran Church teaches. Holy Communion is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given in and with bread and wine for Christians to eat and drink, for the forgiveness of sins, the healing of our bodies, and the strengthening of our faith. We want people to commune with their eyes open, knowing Jesus and his cross, because the same Jesus who was nailed there comes in bread and wine to us. He is where his body and blood are, because he says so, and we meet him face to face. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samietz, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.